K540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Attorney General Merrick Garland before Congress as Republicans allege politics has played a role in the investigation into President Biden's son.
Americans believe that today in our country, there is unequal application of the law. They believe that because there is.
House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan demanding documents from the Justice Department in the Hunter Biden case. Garland says the department applies the same laws to everyone.
Our job is to pursue justice without fear or favor. Our job is not to do what is politically convenient. Our job is not to take orders from the president, from Congress, or from anyone else about who or what to criminally investigate.
President Biden sitting down today with Israel's prime minister.
Welcome, Bibi, and I hope we can get some things to settle today.
Thank you, Mr. President. Joe.
CBS's Cammy McCormick.
The meeting today brings together the leaders for the first time since Benjamin Netanyahu took office late last year. In the past, a White House visit would have come soon after taking office. The White House has offered few details about this New York meeting, but Netanyahu's plan to overhaul Israel's judicial system is sure to come up.
Hollywood Studios meeting today with the striking writers' union in a bid to end the walkout that began May 2nd. On the picket lines, there is frustration.
We are tired. People need money. People are really, really struggling. But everybody understands that we have to be in this fight until we actually get a fair deal, because that's what's actually going to make a future for all of us.
It's expected Fed policymakers will take no action today on interest rates. CBS's Jill Schlesinger says a steady drumbeat of increases has been designed to tame inflation.
The Federal Reserve is likely to be heartened by the progress made at the core level, which strips out food and energy. At the very least, pausing before the last two meetings of the year will give the Federal Reserve more information as its decision-making process continues.
The nonprofit First Street Foundation says dramatic hikes in home insurance premiums in areas hit by floods and fires may only get more and more expensive. In Key West, Florida, Jack Anderson paid off his mortgage, so he wasn't required to pay an $8,000 annual insurance bill.
At every level financially, it made sense for us. Like, what level of risk can you live with? I guess is really what it comes down to.
Opening a climate summit today, the UN Secretary General said the global crisis has, quote, opened the gates to hell. Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 168 points, the S&P up 9. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A new city administrator has been picked for Waukesha. The employment contract for Anthony Brown has been approved by the city council. He'll officially start his role November 20th, with Brown currently serving out his time as administrator in Port Washington. Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley is expressing enthusiasm for his appointment, citing qualifications and the expectation that he will benefit both city employees and residents. A beer district should be considered. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson is pitching the idea of creating an entertainment zone in the parking lots surrounding American Family Field. The district would potentially include restaurants, hotels, or apartments, mirroring the successful Deer District near the Pfizer Forum. The proposal comes amid the need for significant investments to maintain and renovate American Family Field. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Earl Ingram.
Yes, we're going to use lethal force. Yes, we reserve the right to operate.
He clearly stated he would go in and they'd slaughter the cartel and they would be killing everywhere. He used that verbiage.
Unless Mexico invites us to send our troops into their country, it's essentially under international law tantamount to an act of war to send troops into a country without the invitation of the country.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin with Kristen Braun. Your host, Kristen Bry.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. It is the second hour of our Wednesday edition. We got Jane Madner here. We got Greg Bach on the board. And we have our friend from the Institute for Reforming Government, president of CJ Safer. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for the diapers.
You're going to need a lot of them.
CJ
so
walked in.
So whatever I can do to help.
Walked in. He's here in person. And it was funny that it was so timely because I realized last night out of all the diapers that we've been given, people were thinking ahead. Like my friend I saw yesterday, she gave me size 3. She's like, they're in size 3 for the longest. That's why I gave you size 3. And I surveyed the nursery and I said, we have no newborn diapers right now. And you brought me newborn diapers, so we will use those first.
You're going to need them really, really soon.
Like right away. And I yeah. heard a lot of them.
A lot of them. Have you talked to Mike who's on diaper duty, or is it going to be who's ever closest?
I think it's going to be whoever's closest. I might throw out to him more since I will be on feeding duty for the most part. That seems like a fair division of labor. But yeah, and he can change a diaper. He's not afraid.
Gotta help out.
How did you guys do it when you have with your kids? How did you divide it?
Trying to think if Renee's going to listen to this or not. So,
a little revisionist history,
She's working now. I was on diaper duty.
Okay.
And you know, you get good at it, right? It's like a skill, and then it just becomes just like riding a bike.
Well, and you don't have to
learn how to distract them so they will sit still.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about those enormous safety pins like you're going to impale them on something. with the, you know, now they're so zip, zip, and cheep, cheep, and it's pretty quick.
I like those sound effects. All right. Well, we could keep talking about kids, or we could talk about Wisconsin politics. What do you want to talk about, CJ?
Do I have a choice?
You have a little bit of a choice. I'll give you this choice. Which part of Wisconsin politics do you want to start with?
How many state Supreme Court justices will be there by the time you get back from leave?
Oh, that's a good question. More than five. let's start there then. So last week was, as Dan Schaefer tweeted, everything everywhere all at once in Wisconsin politics. From, you know, at the beginning of the week, there was talk of maybe not impeaching because there was a pressure campaign happening. By the end of the week, there was still Voss talking about a secret anonymous former justice group that he's put together to talk about impeachment. Where, as of right now, do you feel like impeachment does not seem popular? As far as a lot of there was a poll last week that came out that said it's like 24-point margin of how many people do not want Justice Dan Protase was to be impeached. And I think it kind of goes back to the same way how Walker, over 10 years ago, despite people who did not vote for him originally, were also like, an election's an election. And they want him to be able to do his term. And so as far as what you're hearing, do you feel like this is a potential political suicide to really follow through on impeachment threats?
I think it's super hard to say at this point. And I just say this because I don't think the case has been made for impeachment yet, right? Okay. So polls, love polls. We all love polls. But like, let's just concede that they're snapshots in time. And if there hasn't been like a persuasive issue campaign or anything to really move or educate voters, you know, it's going to show one side or the other. And I think if you knee-jerk ask people, do you wish removing the person that just won by 11 points, their knee-jerk reaction is probably going to be no.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot of really bad media, national media, mm-hmm. in the last couple weeks. Certainly doesn't seem like Republicans in the legislature were prepared to make a vigorous defense for impeachment. But, you know, I think it's something that's a very real possibility. Speaker Voss, I mean, just reading the tea leaves and reading what everything's been out there, is that something that they're going to continue to dangle that out until they get a definitive answer on recusal? And I think the recusal thing is a real issue. And I certainly appreciate, you know, the both sides and the whataboutisms. But when you just look at just the facts on the paper, right? The $10 million donations from DPW, the statements, you put it all together. I think there's a cloud of a credible case can be made that, yes, while a candidate, Protasiewicz, certainly has her First Amendment rights and she can say whatever she wants on the campaign trail, the Constitution protects that. There's also the 14th Amendment, and that's due process. And there's going to be a real discussion, I would guess, on what due process means in Wisconsin and what we can do to ensure that judges will be fair, unbiased, and impartial. And I think once you see the Republicans lay out that case, if that's the route that they go down, it wouldn't shock me if those numbers move a little bit. But I would readily concede that it's going to be an unpopular uphill battle.
And so when you say that, as far as, because I know, like, I'm upfront, and even this week, Journal Sentinel wrote an article, Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates often speak about hot topics. Only one faces impeachment threat. And on upfront a week or so ago, when Tyler August was on there, Brian Hagedorn, it was brought up what he said about abortion when he was running. And I'm pretty sure he probably took campaign donations from pro-life groups. And so what do you see that's different about this, that case could be made, especially considering the Judicial Committee basically dismissed the complaints?
Well, the recusal stuff, the donations, I mean, how we elect judges and justices is incredibly, I mean, these issues are always around, right? Mm-hmm. And let's just all be honest. Everyone's switching their positions 180 degrees from 6 years ago, from 10 years ago. And that's just kind of the politics of the fact that we elect judges and justices. Yes. And, you know, they have to raise money. It's now in 2023 in Wisconsin. Like, you have to raise about as much money as the gubernatorial race in 2010 and 2012. And that's going to have certain incentives. And, you know, a lot of people don't like what these elections are becoming. But, you know, to some extent, that's neither here nor there. You know, I will readily admit that, you know, it's just going to be very ugly given, you know, different elections 2 years ago, 4 years ago, six years ago. You know, I think the biggest issue for Protasiewicz is just the statement of rigged maps. And then just $10 million. And I don't quote me on this. I don't think that there's been a number that high, even with inflation, but when you're talking $10 million from a political party, perfectly legal. And then when you're talking about a statement, again, that the First Amendment protects, but that could seem improper when they're going to hear a case on the exact maps that she said are rigged.
Well, speaking about maps, were you surprised last week about Speaker Voss's decision to change his mind about nonpartisan maps?
I think it's a genuine off ramp.
You do?
I think it's a genuine off ramp. I don't know if we want to vote, but I'm guessing I'll be outnumbered here.
I wanted. You actually believe Robin Voss is capable of being genuine? That blows my mind.
I think it could be. Well, look, I mean, whether he is or he isn't genuine, I do think it is on paper an off ramp.
And the truth is, they did concede there was multiple amendments as far as what ended up getting passed out of the assembly. There was concessions. I think that there's a lot more room for debate and beyond how rushed it is. But like, I would, after there was more amendments made, I'm more on your side of like, maybe this is a genuine offer because he sees this as a better opportunity than letting it go to the court.
Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, whether someone agrees with that or disagrees with that. I mean, the fact is that they amended it and it is out there. It was approved. It was voted out. Look, there's a Senate, right? It's not just Robin Voss and Governor Evers. There's a Senate that would have to take it up exactly as is. Governor Evers would have to approve it. And then how do you juxtapose that with the timeline of this actual lawsuit and the original action and the need to decide on recusal, the need to decide on it? You know, I don't know if these timelines are going to mesh, but I do think, you know, should have been done a while ago, should have been done 6-8 years ago, which I think some Democrats were in favor of then. And again, we don't need to rehash this, but like, yes, the positions are changing. And maybe that's healthy for a purple state like Wisconsin. Maybe it's not. And maybe this is why people don't like redistricting, because it's just generally going to favor who's ever in power.
But do you think there's a, like, and you can either speak as you, CJ, you can speak on behalf of IRG, or because I don't, this is not a main issue for the organization, but like, do you think there is a genuine way that we could get to a point that we take partisanship out of the redistricting process and have a better process than what we've had? But whether it's Michigan, whether it's Iowa, like, do you personally think that like that is an optimal goal?
I think it's
or a realistic goal.
Well, I guess I'd be curious. Maybe I'm in the minority in this room. I think it's very hard to say that there's nonpartisan judges. I think it's very hard to say that there's nonpartisan people that can write a map without trying to inject their politics. Because I think people are political animals and people are voting. People are passionate. I mean, the stakes are very high, right? So it very much makes sense for people to care about issues deeply. I've always been under the mindset that I find it very hard to believe that there's this fictitious group of judges or nonpartisan actors out there that can be appointed, that can kind of sit in this room and just carve up maps that are going to decide the future of the state of Wisconsin and not have any biases whatsoever.
But couldn't there be, is the fact, and maybe this is my naivete, but like, if we're using computer programs to draw these maps and there's just different inputs you can throw in, couldn't you just take out voting history as an input?
You could. I mean,
it's very possible.
And I think what I'm curious to see is what happens next is, you know, let's say maybe in 2024, when you're back, and, you know, are we going to be able to get to the next stage of this where the state Supreme Court makes their decision, recusal's made, and then we can kind of discuss, well, how do we want to do redistricting in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Because I guess I can see this. I'm skeptical that they're going to be able to get this through the entire legislature and that Governor Evers would sign it based on some of his, you know, initial statements. I think this is destined to be heard in front of the court. I think that's going to make things more murky. But it'll be fascinating to see what redistricting in Wisconsin looks like in the next 6-7 years.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I can't decide if we're going to talk about the Brewers or possible bipartisanship when we come back, but it's going to be one or the other. CJ Safer is our guest. He is the president for Institute for Reforming Government. We'll be back right after this. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Taking care of business. Every way. Taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business. Working overtime. Woo! Taking care of business. Taking care of business.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 80. Winds out of the southwest 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 58. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 78. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matt Nair is here. Greg Bach is on the board. And we are talking to CJ Safer, president of Institute for Reforming Government, about just the Wisconsin politics. And I don't know, do we have an update if the legislature has gaveled in and gaveled out?
Let me look into that for you.
Thank you, Greg. So that is a question that we were kicking around yesterday as far as since 2020. Almost every time Governor Evers has called a special session, the decision has been from the Republican leadership to, because they have to meet, to gavel in and gavel out and not really discuss the topic at hand. And beyond just that maneuver, but even what I've talked about last week of Governor Evers immediately saying this is a bad faith proposal when he was talking about the nonpartisan maps, and like with so much trust being broken in Wisconsin on the other side. And when someone tries to do something that's like, that's not in good faith, we can't trust you, not letting the other side win. Like, who ultimately has to be the bigger person? And is there any hope for that? It's a big question, I know.
So remember when I was on your show maybe 3 months ago, we talked about a morning consult poll that we had commissioned about faith in different institutions. Mm-hmm. And it was 18% of Wisconsin voters have trust in state government, also Governor Evers. So 18% is incredibly low. Like, mm-hmm. we're talking about bipartisan majorities that do not express a huge amount of trust in state government. It's similar in federal government, similar with media, similar with everything, is no one, you know, we have a crisis of confidence in institutions. So I think the gavel in, gavel out strategy, here's where I'll defend at least right now, or at least right today. I think Speaker Voss is right to say, look, we already voted this stuff down in like the state budget, right? So I think if you're a Republican in the legislature, your sense is like, what's the point? We already voted on it. We already talked about it. We did a huge budget about it. Agree or disagree. We decided not to take up funding for childcare. We decided not to do some of the things that he wanted to do with workforce. We already spent almost $1 billion or billions and billions of dollars in last state budget. But Governor Evers, I think it makes sense, right? You have the bully pulpit. we're talking about it. You're talking about it. The media is talking about it. So to me, it seems, it's going to shock you, it seems very political in the sense of it's just a way to keep an issue alive that's got no chance of passing.
Well, but again, if we do whataboutism, flip the tables, the Republicans then trying to pass tax cuts again after Tony Evers cut that, right? And so is that not the same play, different side of the field of, you know, we're putting this back in the conversation and once again trying to propose without the top bracket making this cut. And even though Evers literally just line item vetoed that, we're introducing it again. How is that different?
Now there's no, right. And the only slight difference is one of the, there is a tax plan out there that's making its way through that is a little different. And so I think they could argue that at least that one tax plan that's more focused on the middle class, separate from what was passed or vetoed, is a little bit different. No, look, I mean, some of this is just divided government at play. Like, it doesn't really offend me. I think it's just part of the process. I think, look, to end or to kind of keep this going and or turn into like maybe a optimistic spin.
I love that.
I think, look, the childcare, so look, there's a real philosophical divide, shocking, between Republicans and Democrats in the legislature on childcare. Democrats want a big amount of funding increase. They want to continue the funding for childcare accounts. You know, the federal program, federal subsidies ends in a couple weeks. Dems want to do state funding to supplement that. Republicans are countering and saying, well, here's a huge package of deregulation, primarily focused on the child worker ratios, some tax incentives in there. I think in this day and age of divided politics, it's at least healthy in the sense that both sides agree that there is a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
And we don't see that. There's a lot of issues we can discuss that sides aren't even talking about the same thing. They're talking about completely separate issues. This is, we're kind of talking about the same issues, the childcare deserts. I think they are very, very real. All the polling that we've done, all the discussions that we've had is that access to affordable childcare is one of the main kitchen table issues across the state. And at least I'm at least heartened to see that both sides are talking about it. Mm-hmm. Can they get something done anytime soon? I'm not as confident because I think there's a real philosophical disagreement of how to proceed. But at least we have an agreement that there's a problem. Is that a good thing, right?
I guess I think you're probably right as far as like not even being on the same page, not even proposing the same policies on the same issues. And it'd just be interesting to see of like looking at data, right? Like looking at data of what actually helps. And I don't know, off the top of my head, I don't know what state has figured this out when it comes to childcare that we can look to be like, well, like as we
do it like this.
Yeah. Like whenever we've talked about reading, we bring up Mississippi all the time, right? Like, I don't know who's doing it well. I don't know if you.
Let me say this. And the childcare is something we're going to be doing. IRG will be very aggressive on next year. I think the problem is so multifaceted, and it's the concern is that it's very complex because you have this entire marketplace that is just broken. And I think both sides can agree that it's just broken. And we've had some issues with supply and demand that literally have came out of nowhere in the last 10 years, and policymakers are not prepared for them. Well, the lack of workers, the huge like demand. I think we can probably solve it, but I think it's going to take a while.
All right. Well, it always goes so fast, but I'm also excited because you said next month you have polling data from the Wow County Women.
We got something good.
I mean, yeah, that'll be super soon. Jane, you might have to have a back talk about
and,
it.
I will come on and talk to a Jane about it, and you can listen.
That would be wonderful.
Maybe I'll even call in. All right, CJ Safer is the president of Institute for Reforming Government. We always appreciate you coming on the show, giving your opinion, and I just appreciate your friendship and the diapers.
Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you, CJ. All right, we'll be back right after this to talk about intergenerational friendships. Do you have any? 844-967-2789.
Keep keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. House Republicans press Attorney General Merrick Garland about the Hunter Biden investigation.
The Justice Department treats everyone alike, regardless of party, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of wealth. Everyone is treated alike.
In New York, President Biden sits down with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Even where we have some differences, my commitment to Israel, as you know, is ironclad.
It's expected Federal Reserve policymakers will leave interest rates right where they are when they conclude their two-day meeting today. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
It looks like inflation is re-accelerating, mostly due to energy prices. But the Federal Reserve is likely to be heartened by the progress made at the core level, which strips out food and energy.
Stellantis says it will temporarily lay off 68 people and could furlough 300 more soon because of the UAW strike. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha South can't play football Friday night. The school is forfeiting their upcoming football game against Muskego due to insufficient players on the varsity team. That's caused by injuries. The school's athletic director says they have a goal to complete this season despite small numbers at the start. They say they're focusing on getting injured players healthy while considering the well-being of student athletes and the program's health. It's a $1.9 billion city budget for Milwaukee. Mayor Cavalier Johnson presented his budget yesterday that includes the hiring of additional police officers and firefighters. The budget utilizes the recently approved 2% sales tax increase. The mayor says he also wants to rebrand the Office of Violence Prevention as the Office of Community Wellness and Safety. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You look so sad. Tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me. Let me see you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on the board. And always fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Always fun to have CJ's thoughts on things, even when we don't agree, because that's important.
Yes, it is important. And I like hearing his perspective, and it gives you something to think about.
And especially because he's not an elected official, so it's not like he's representing the politicians, but he is certainly a conservative person who, yep, I think in the same way that he had said the optimism of at least we can agree that there is a problem with childcare. And that's so often, I think, what the goal is. It's like, at least if we can agree what the problem is and we can debate over how to solve it, that is such a big like step forward than just being on over here. We're talking about CRT and transgender issues. And over here, we're talking about, you know, free lunches and teacher retention, you know, or like the gap between what the problem of the day is between the parties sometimes.
But I think both sides have already acknowledged that our immigration crisis is a big problem. And yet there is this refusal to do anything about it. We know it's a mess. Nobody wants to fix it.
Because then we can't run on it.
Well, and healthcare. It was the same thing with healthcare. And yes, our system is broken. What a shame. We all agree. Yep, I don't know what to do. So we'll leave it. So I think it, yes, of course, it's good that we can all identify a problem. Now let's identify something to do about the problem. That would really be progress.
That would really be progress. Yeah. All right. Well, before we move on, did you want to get to some of the text messages?
I did. And you can always call us or text us at 844-967-2789 or use the app because you can text us directly. Jim and Appleton, when we were talking about Janet Protasiewicz and whether or not she should be impeached or she should recuse if there is a fair map case that comes before the court. Jim and Appleton, she did say that she felt the maps are rigged. She also said she has to look at the case argument for changing them, which would lead to a not preconceived verdict. Mm-hmm. And our friend Joe McClear, Bradley voted against a rule that would have forced the state high court justices to recuse themselves in cases involving their campaign donors. And again, it's in one rule for me, another for thee. It's only bad when you do it.
Yeah.
And that's, I find that problematic.
Do you ever do that in your own life, though? Because it's fine when you do it, but it's not fine when other people do it.
Pretty much in everything. I never said I wasn't a hypocrite, Kristen.
What is the big chill quote? Is rationalizations are the most important thing in life. And he goes, what about sex? It's like, have you ever gone a week without a rationalization?
Exactly. That's a great, great line and very accurate.
I quote that all of the time.
He's not wrong.
All right. Well, I've been sitting on this article for a while, and I wanted to get to it before I'm gone for 3 months. But I wanted to talk about intergenerational friendships and the importance of them, but also the infrequent nature of them, especially, I guess, apparently with millennials. So just to start off, we would love to hear from you. Do you have any intergenerational friendships?
So what are those parameters?
I would say, let's keep it easy, a 10-plus year age difference.
Okay. Above or below? Older or younger?
Older or younger. Okay. So if you are 45 and you have friends in their early 30s and 20s, if you're in your 60s and have someone who is in their 80s or in their 40s, like, you know, like a significant age difference where you would have been in like college when they were born. Let's kind of put it in that framework.
Okay.
But now that you're both adults, whether you work together, whether you're neighbors, whether you're in church, like different groups together, do you have friendships in your life where there's a big age gap? And we'd love to just hear the story of what those friendships have meant to you. What do you think that they've brought to your life?
Yes.
Not only despite the age difference, but also maybe because of the age difference of what that means to you. 844-967-2789. Because apparently there is a lot of perks. There's a lot of perks of having intergenerational friendships, even though they're not very common. Some 37% of Americans say they have a friend who's at least 15 years younger or older than they are, according to AARP. And they're more common with older generations.
Really?
So Gen X, because you're Gen X, right? Just the Greg's just the bottom of Gen X?
I'm young Gen X.
Young Gen X. And boomers.
And I'm at the end of the boomers.
Yeah, so you both are more likely to have intergenerational friendships than me as a millennial. But those who say they have older friends say they have those pals inspire them, give them a new perspective, and act as role models. And then older folks who have younger buds say that those friends boost their energy, make them feel valued, and keep them up on trends. And it sounds like people are most likely to make those friends through work, church, temple. But they're also most likely to stand the test of time. That nearly half of those responding to an AARP survey said their intergenerational friendships have lasted over 10 years.
Wow. Well, that's really good news.
And so I just thought this, especially in my last week before I'm off, because you have, I would say, since you started this show, become literally the person that I think I talk to most in life, besides my husband.
And mom.
I may even talk to you more than I talk to my mother. I don't know if I always talk to Debbie Bry every single day. And we're what? Almost 30 years age difference?
Yeah.
And I certainly, I mean, it's so much obviously in a work capacity, but like I rely on you for a lot of things. And I rely on the fact that you've done a lot of this before. And so it's nice to be able to ask you those questions. And so do you have many friends in your circle who are, have you have a similar age gap with?
I consider you a very good friend. And so you would be the youngest of my friends. But there are two women that I know. We've called ourselves the Unholy Trio for a very, very,
the
very long time.
The Unholy Trio?
The Unholy Trio. And when we met, I was in my 30s. Monica was in her 20s. And Natalie was in her 40s. Now Natalie's in her 70s. I'm in my 60s. And Monica's in her 50s.
Okay.
And we are tight. And it's just always been... It was interesting to see Monica as the youngest grow up a little bit and get married and do those, you know, and then have children. And so it's always been interesting. It's just always interesting for these different life perspectives. What was that experience like for you? Here's what it was like for me. And even with you, there was what you read was so accurate as far as feeling valued for someone my age is really important. And I've never been treated like, well, she's just this old, bitter and jaded.
I do call you bitter and jaded sometimes. Which, but.
And I embrace that. That will be my law firm if I ever get a legal degree. but... It's been really valuable. And without you, I would never have learned how to text with my thumbs.
That's true. Or use StreamYard.
What
to do with a Google calendar.
Exactly. So many things. And to understand your perspective of life and then future and what's important to you and, you know, what you value. So, yeah, it increases the quality of life. The more you know people, the better you are.
Well, and it's interesting to think about it as another aspect of when we talk about having diverse friends of having friends who are men and women, having friends who are from different ethnicities and races, of like also the value of another pillar of diversity is age. What about you, Greg? Do you feel like you have many good friends who are either older or younger?
I've got a lot of younger friends because of comedy. A lot of them come through. And
does the age difference come through? Or is it just the commonality of comedy? It's like you're on all comedians, and so the age difference isn't really a thing.
I mean, it shows its face when they say certain things or make certain decisions. I mean, and the same thing with my work. I work at Lakefront Brewery, too. I work with a lot of people who are 10 years, if not 25 years younger than me.
So, really?
Yeah. We have really young people. But I mean, what you said before there was important and true, which is because of them, I listen to them speak. I listen to the things they're going through. I don't, you know, I'll throw the occasional like, oh, yeah, complain about your life, blah, 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 you know. But I want to see all their problems and opinions as valid, and so therefore it informs who I am as a person to not discount someone who is of certain age, because, you know, I thought at my age that my problems were the end of the world, and it's important to have someone to listen to, especially someone older who can say, hey, like just the other day I was talking to a couple of coworkers, said, hey, you guys are like 22 years old. In 10 years, the things you're stressing about right now won't matter, and it's okay. Yeah. It's very okay to be just to let it go and not like create a apocalyptic hellscape in your brain over a breakup. Because in 10 years, you're going to forget what they look like.
I've longed to have that exact conversation, Greg, with Billie Eilish.
We'll get around the phone.
We're talking about the importance of intergenerational friendships and asking if you have any friends in your life who are 15 years older or younger than you. And we would love to hear how those friendships started, what they meant to you, and, you know, what the age difference, like how that is an asset in your friendship. 844-967-2789. And speaking of that, quickly, just to follow up on Greg's point, I was trying to get like, what do young voters care about? I was talking to someone who had just graduated college, and they said, you know, one of the things is there's a labor shortage, and they always talk about how there's so many jobs open and stuff like that, but so many of my friends can't find jobs in the thing that they studied and they graduated. I was like, that's not new.
No, that
like,
isn't new.
You study so hard, you're so interested in your academic pursuits, and you leave university with, you know, studying really interesting things, and then in your first job, because you're an entry-level person, is to cold call. And like, that is that's not new. That's not the economy. That's just being an entry-level person.
Pretty much. Yeah. 844-967-2789 from the 310. I'm friends with a neighbor Kristen's age. She is a young mom with two boys who say they think of me as the matriarch of the neighborhood. I think they see me in a grandma role. I like that role with them, but I really value their mom's friendship. She's very smart, very attuned to today's issues. She inspires me, but also teaches me about many things I wouldn't know because you talk to Jane more than me. Ha ha.
As soon as you started describing it, I was like, oh, that's Debbie. And I know exactly who she's talking about because it is. I know exactly her neighbor who is my age. And they are very good friends. Like, my mom helps out with the kids as much as she can.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I was thinking about that as I was thinking about this topic this morning. I was like, oh, like Debbie talks to Laura all the time. And so, but yeah, we would love to talk to you as far as your intergenerational friendships. 844-967-2789 and what they have meant to you.
Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to read the same text as you. Go ahead.
Angie from Monroe. I was a manager in my past in a kitchen, and to this day, I am still friends with some of those kids, and they're years younger than me. It's the older crowd I have a harder time with. I actually am having something over the row issues.
Anxiety.
I'm actually having anxiety over the row issues for them, not for me, but me for them.
Mm.
She sent a follow-up saying, stupid voice text.
Thank you, Angie. Again, you can check in on the app. You can call. You can text 844-967-2789. And I'm trying to think if I have more issues with older people.
Issues is a strong word. But I also, you know who else I have a really good, strong relationship with? Steve Scafidi.
Who's about my age.
Who's about your age.
Yeah.
And as far as another person who we have a friendship that is, and I would say similarly, as far as it's somewhat role model, it's somewhat advice, but also I think he likes that I teach him about trends.
Absolutely.
I taught him what cuffing season was on one of the first times I was ever on his show. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in just a minute. We would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Tell us about your intergenerational friendships. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Highs around 80. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 58 tonight. Overcast skies. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 78. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 68 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matnair and Greg Bach on the board, and we are talking about having friends who are older or younger than you and the value that that brings, even though it's not a very common thing, which I guess I was thinking about it. And before I moved back to Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure almost all of my friends, because also I worked when I was working in tech, very young.
I'm sure.
It's a very, very young industry. Yeah. As far as even the leaders at startups often are the founders who are, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And I think for a long time, yeah, like the age range of my friendships was like maybe 5 years.
But that makes sense for the industry that you were in.
And now, and I wonder sometimes with big cities like that, because so many people end up moving out once they start to have kids, and it's, you're less likely to have, like, when I'm big cities, I'm talking San Francisco, LA, New York, and the neighborhoods that I was living in, that I just feel like I met less people who were significantly older than me.
Well, and I think too, once you have children, as we talked about just yesterday, that you will probably find yourself spending more time with other people with children. It's true. Just the nature of little league games and gymnastics and whatever
things,
activities LJ is going to be involved
in. I love that your commitment to LJ.
At least in my own brain.
You got another week of your commitment to LJ.
I might still keep calling her that.
Or the wrong name.
Yeah. It will really confuse her. I know we'll name the wrong colors. No, I'm kidding. 262 checking in with a text. I'm impressed with people who are actually able to maintain friendships at any age because it's hard work. And it is hard work.
Yeah.
And it does require effort. And I think it also requires, you can't put too many expectations on other people because they will always disappoint you. Not that you should have no expectations, but when I have made new girlfriends and I've made it very clear to them, I don't send cards, I don't send notes, I'll probably forget your birthday, I still love you.
Do you like lay that out at the beginning of the friendship?
As we are starting to get closer, it's like, I want you to know who I am.
That's interesting.
So I don't disappoint you. And if you need more than that.
Do you feel like those are corners, like things that people expect? I'm like you then. Like I'm not always, I send a text, but like sending, my mom's really good at sending cards
but
and
see,
those things.
That's a generational thing.
That's
very much a generational thing. And so with women my age, again, I'm 63, and I think there is an expectation that you check in with a note or you send, you know, I don't know, you call, you do, I haven't heard from you for 3 months. Well, we're not dating. I still love you. It's, you know, there's been a lot going on or whatever. You have to be able to to do that and let some of those disappointments slide if you want to maintain some of these relationships.
Yeah, and I also think of when the Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Sally Fields, and was it Rita
Moreno?
Moreno were doing the 80 for Brady press tour that was way more fun than the movie ended up being. And there was a quote from Jane Fonda saying, like, when you meet someone you want to be friends with, especially at a certain age, like, you have to pursue them. And she was talking about pursuing Sally Fields.
Which
Sally
is hilarious.
Was like, oh my God, she wouldn't leave me alone.
It was hilarious.
And I think about that, like, with the friend I saw yesterday, who we enjoy each other's company so much, but we don't necessarily have an overlapping friend group.
Yeah.
She has two kids, and it is the pursuit of, like, when we hang out, we're always like, we need to be closer friends, but it is work.
Especially
in your at a certain age when you're like, we don't see each other every day because of work. We don't see each other every day because of school.
Yep.
And the needing to check in or needing to make time. And it doesn't have to be for a long time, but even
just to touch base.
Just to touch base, mm-hmm. and build those friendships regardless of age. And so, yeah. I don't know.
It's good for you. Go out and make some friends.
Yeah, reach out to someone that you wouldn't normally reach out to.
You could be texting with your thumbs in no time at all.
All right. Well, the last thing I wanted to end on as far as a goofy light topic, it is National String Cheese Day.
Yay!
And it makes sense that Wisconsin, America's Dairyland, invented string cheese.
Of course we did.
I did not know that until today. I got this from Up North News's newsletter this morning. But the legend has it that Frank Baker of Baker Cheese, which was originally located in St. Cloud, then it became a Wisconsin. Baker Cheese was in Wisconsin. It was a product that was created in the mid-70s after he recognized the need for a smaller consumer-sized cheese. So he took a ball of mozzarella, stretched it into a rope, and cut it into small chunks. And he didn't think that it was going to become a lunchroom superstar, but that apparently is the legend, the origin story of string cheese.
That's awesome.
I love it. And hey, just to let you know, if you want to get some good string cheese, you can always donate blood. They now have string cheese. I went there when I donated blood, and there was two vegetable crisper drawers just packed with it. I'm like, I want all of these.
That's one of my go-to things at Quick Trip besides candy.
It
seems like a healthier option. There's a little protein in there, a little calcium in there. Seems like better than chips or
low
Skittles.
Skim. You know, it's low skim, and it's tasty and it's fun to eat.
And there's only one way to actually eat it.
Yep.
Do not bite into the head of a string cheese.
If our friendship's going to survive, then you have to understand how I eat string cheese.
How do you eat? Wait. Are you going to disappoint me? How do you eat string cheese?
However I want.
You don't actually string it? You bite into it?
If I'm feeling it, I peel. If I'm feeling it, I bite. I do what I want. I live my life, Kristen Bry.
You're just a maverick.
You can't pin me down.
He's a string cheese maverick, baby.
I was going to say really quick, too. Got to meet Lynn Bauer, friend of the show. Sent us pictures from the Brewers game last night. At Drag Bingo. She tried calling now. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show, Lynn, so we can't take your call. But I met her last night at Drag Bingo, and she is absolutely lovely. It was wonderful to have met you, and I hope I see you again soon.
Oh, that's awesome. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, Lynn. What a lovely way to end today's show. So thank you to CJ Safer for being our guest. Thank you to everyone who texted and called in. Tomorrow, we got another public cervix announcement.
Yay, Dr. Lyerly's here.
Dr. Lyerly's here. We'll talk babies and birth, probably, along with any of your questions. So feel free to text or email those in. 844-967-2789 or asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And we also got an update from Paul Noonan for sports, 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 go sports, and more topics, wherever the news takes us.
The countdown continues.
Yes.
Continues. And then Friday, we'll take your baby advice. Michael Sampson, my husband, will be here, so definitely don't miss that on Friday. But we'll be back 10 a.m. tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far the segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.